Brady Saar, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services, Erskine. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Randy Conan. Temperatures are expected to drop below zero this week. Grand Forks National Weather Service meteorologist Alexandra Hawley says you'll want to bundle up when going outside.
As we get into the rest of the week and into the weekend, it should start to warm up just a little bit, maybe back into the 20s for highs, but we are going to see a quiet period until we get into the weekend and have another shot at some showers, snow showers, but it's a little bit hard to tell right now what the impacts will be.
High winds will drop the temperature even lower.
The winds are going to be a threat mainly in those morning hours when it's at its coldest, and then as we get into the day on Wednesday, we will sort of see them stick around just a little bit in areas of the northern Red River Valley. So we could see some wind chills as low as the minus 20s, maybe even down to minus 30 heading into the rest of the work week. But once we start to get into the weekend, those should be a little bit warmer than that. So hopefully that's short-lived and we won't see that anymore for a good period of time.
The Midwest will see a quiet weather pattern over the next couple of weeks. World Weather Incorporated says temperatures will cool with highs by Thursday in the teens to lower 30s, followed by a warming trend into next week. A light wintry mix will occur in many in northern and eastern portions of the Midwest into next Monday. The northern plains, that's expected to be mostly dry with occasional light snow flurries through Sunday. Morning low temperatures, though, dropping into the minus 20s and negative teens by Thursday before warming into the teens and 20s by Sunday. Highs expected to be in the negative teen and single digits Thursday before warming to the 20s to 40s by Sunday.
2-week outlook remains favorable for crop development across much of Brazil and Paraguay. World Weather Incorporated says a good mix of rain and sunshine will occur. Northeastern Brazil will be the driest and will need better rains soon to prevent crop stress. Argentina will continue to see more sunshine than rain and will need timely rains to prevent additional crop stress. Temperatures are expected to range from the upper 70s to the mid-90s.
AgMarket.net analyst Tyler Shao is not expecting a market mover from tomorrow's December supply-demand report.
The December WASD is notorious for not giving us a lot to trade off. Usually the USDA will kind of punt. About the only thing we expect to see change could be some demand numbers. Might see a little uptick in exports for corn. Definitely going to need to see something happen with soybean oil, as we've already eclipsed the USDA's target for soybean oil exports. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But as far as production or supply goes, I think it's in 20 years of data, we've not seen the USDA move the needle on acres or on yields in the December report. Most of that will wait until the January report to true up.
The big unknown is how much of the report numbers are already baked into the market prices.
We kind of feel if you do see exports tick up and we do see that ending stocks drop, we kind of feel like maybe that's already priced into this market. You got March corn up at 440. Don't forget, we're still looking at a 1.9 billion bushel carryout on corn, which, you know, it's tough to get real bullish on that. So we've been using this opportunity to maybe make some catch-up sales or on any unprotected grain that farmers want to hold in the bin through this winter and early spring, using it as an opportunity to get some put option protection on it.
Biofuels continue to see increased demand, and Minnesota Biofuels Association Executive Director Brian Warner hopes that it will build off of a strong 2024.
We had a really successful year, and I think overall, it being an election year, there's always kind of an air of uncertainty, you know, a lot of trepidation about what the new year will bring and whether or not the policies that were enacted this year are going to survive next year. So I think that was sort of the backdrop for this. But overall, I think we had a really successful year at the Capitol, whether that was, you know, advocating for the Midwest Governor's RVP, Reed Vapor Pressure Petition, that's going to allow Minnesota to sell E15 permanently starting next summer.
Werner is looking forward to working with the new administration come January.
We in biofuels, we're very fortunate that we have bipartisan support, but that also means that we have bipartisan opposition. And so no matter which administration is in power in D.C., whether it be Republicans or Democrats, we have our opportunities, but we also have our challenges. So in the incoming administration that will be inaugurated on January 20th, we certainly see some opportunities there, whether it's halting or potentially overturning the tailpipe emissions rule that was finalized by the Biden administration, which would have disadvantaged low-carbon ethanol. So I think, you know, seeing that overturned is certainly a positive from our perspective.
Congress needs to pass a farm bill extension by the end of the week. There's no clear indication that will happen. Outgoing Senate Agriculture Committee Chair Debbie Stabenow and House Agriculture Committee Ranking Member David Scott made an offer last week for a farm bill extension and an additional $5.3 billion farm relief package. The Republican caucus on the Agriculture Committees has rejected that because they want a more substantial assistance program. If a compromise doesn't happen by the end of the year, permanent law kicks in. That would more than double the price support for milk. Support prices for corn, wheat, and other commodities would also increase under permanent law, but that wouldn't take effect until the 2025 crop year.
USDA's weekly export inspections report for the week ending December 5th shows 1.05 million metric tons of corn were inspected for export. That's 11% more than the previous week and 45% more than the same week a year ago. Soybean inspections of 1.6 million tons are 23% less than the previous week, but 62% more than last year. Wheat inspections are 24% less than the previous week and 67% below a year ago at 226,000 metric tons. For the marketing year, corn inspections are up 32%, soybean inspections are 19% higher, and wheat inspections are 30% above last year's pace. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Canola flea beetles can cause significant damage to the farmer's fields and wallet. NDSU Extension entomologist Jan Canola said there are a few options farmers can do to prevent yield loss.
Traditionally used insecticide treated seed is our main method for management of flea beetles. And the crop damage that flea beetles do once they emerge is feeding on the canola. They can cause a pitting and also severe defoliation. This reduces the crop stand and reduces canola growth. In severe situations, I've seen them completely eat all of the seedling plants down to the ground.
Using a tank mix with multiple modes of action is the best bet.
So the take-home message is really to use a premix or combination of two modes of action in your insecticide seed treatments. That would give you the highest yield. And then a single insecticide seed treatment would be next, and then an untreated check. So I'm really pushing these two active ingredients because we do have the noted neonic insecticide resistance in the cruciferous flea beetle, and also we're starting to see it in the group 28.
Acres and Shares is reporting 654 shares of American Crystal sugar beet stock sold during the week ending December 6th at an average price of $5,101 per share. The high price was $5,300 and the low at $5,100 per share. For the 2024-25 trading season, 2,780 shares have sold at an average price of $5,365 per share, with a high of 5,650 and a low of 5,100.
Lowen and Associates market analyst Matt Hines says that back and forth action continues in a quiet grain trade.
You know, not a whole lot of direction yet. Of course, we've got a crop report coming out tomorrow. Could provide us a little bit more excitement. Really, you know, not looking for a whole lot of changes. I think the biggest thing will be looking at U.S. corn ending stocks. Average trade estimates 32 million bushels below a month ago. Average trade estimates for wheat and beans, though, really not looking for much change there.
Cattle market has backed off its highs.
opened higher and still trading higher, although we've backed off from early gains. You know, feeders were up over a dollar higher right after the open. You know, we do have decent support from higher cash feedlot trade again last week, higher beef prices as well, cash fed cattle trade. Call it 190 to 191 live, 297 to 300 dressed, you know, steady to $2 higher than the week previous. So that has definitely helped support things here to start off this week.
Many crop input decisions are being made prior to the year's, to the prior year's crop, before it's even harvested.
Certainly seem like that decision's happening earlier and earlier, that growers are already making decisions on their seed and then their potential insecticide and herbicide choices even before they finish harvesting the previous crop. So it certainly seems like it's shifting earlier and earlier.
AMVAC marketing manager Wen Carter describes Index as an easy-to-use way to control corn rootworm. Carter is also excited about the weed control options for soybeans and canola.
So Zalo is one of our newer herbicides. It's a combination of glufosinate and quizalofop, so you get excellent broad-spectrum broadleaf weed and grass control. For our soybean growers who might be looking for alternatives to dicamba in 2025, Zalo would be an excellent broad-spectrum choice for them to control resistant weeds, glyphosate-resistant weeds, as well as tough-to-control grasses.
Midwest Market Solutions President Brian Hoops expects tomorrow's WASDE report to be a ho-hum report.
That's a Tuesday morning report where it's expected to show exports for corn increasing maybe by 25 to 50 million bushels and ending stocks dropping the similar amount. So Wednesday's or Tuesday's report, not much of a market mover, but it might be enough to give us a little strength in the corn market going into it.
Preliminary survey results from the Apiary Inspectors of America, Auburn University, and the University of Maryland found from April of 2023 to April of 2024, beekeepers nationwide lost an estimated 55% of their managed honeybee colonies. That's the highest loss rate since this survey began in 2010. The reported losses in North Dakota approached 56%. Minnesota was over 75% loss. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The fertilizer company Yara has started the production of green ammonia fertilizer in Brazil. The ammonia is created from purified renewable biogas made from sugarcane waste. This product reportedly produces greenhouse gas, or rather reduces greenhouse gas emissions by up to 75%.
USDA hosted its first ever trade mission to Morocco. Nearly agribusiness companies and farm organizations and 14 state departments of agriculture were on the trip. North Dakota Ag Commissioner Doug Goering participated and said it's a great opportunity for the region.
The one thing that's sometimes sorely missed by many in the public is the fact that we have to be out here building these relationships. It's relationships that drive business.
Morocco is the second largest export market for U.S. agriculture in Africa and wants to do more direct marketing with U.S. farmers.
There are some wonderful opportunities. I think wheat and durum wheat, along with the pulse crops, the peas, the lentils, the chickpeas, the dry beans, we have such opportunities. There's even some work being talked about and being done in potatoes, seed potatoes. Feed grains, phenomenal. I think you can't even overstate this, the fact that the facility we visited and the customer base they have is awesome.
Checking quotes, March wheat Minneapolis up a nickel, 601.5. March wheat Chicago up 1.75 to 559 even. Kansas City's March hard red winter wheat's up 3.75, 557.5. March corn up a penny and a quarter, 441.25. July's up 2 cents, December 1. January soybeans down 5.75 at 988 even. In Winnipeg, January canola is up $7.60 per metric ton, 616.60 Canadian. February live cattle up 80 cents, 186.97. April's up 50 cents. June up 30 cents at 184.40. January feeders down 17 cents, 255.65. March feeders up 35 cents. May feeders up 52 cents. February lean hogs down 87 cents, 86.45. April down 75 cents. May lean hogs down 57 cents. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.